We're jumping back into our letters series, and it's the final two parts of looking at the book of Ephesians. And it's just been amazing this year to be able to look at the book of Ephesians and to just go through that. And today we're back in that. And if you want to follow along with my notes, I think there'll be a QR code on the screen. Or if there's not a QR code, then you can go on the YouVersion Bible app and click the three lines, click events, and you'll find Icon Church there. And my notes are there and ready for you. But let's start by reading Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. And says this. This is a letter from Paul, who's writing to a church in a place called Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey now. And he's writing to a church that are pretty divided. They're pretty divided. You've got Jews and you've got Gentiles. Let's explain it like this. It's like a school disco. The Jews are on one side and the Gentiles are on the other side. And you know school disco where the lads used to stand on one side and the girls used to stand on the other, and it was like, who's going to be the first one in the middle to dance? I don't think they're doing that anymore, but definitely when they used to do school disco, they used to do school discos at like lunchtime at my school, which is like, I think it was to keep us out of trouble. It was definitely a ploy to keep us out of trouble. And so you can liken it to that. There's a lot of division. And so Paul's writing to this church in Ephesus, and he says this from in chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, says this, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." It's a powerful, powerful even set of verses for us today. And we have to realize that Paul is talking to the church, to people, to believers in the church. And Ephesians 4 is a powerful chapter outlining the principles of unity, growth, and transformation in the Christian life. It's outlining those things. And so today I want to speak from the subject, for all of those taking notes, because note takers are history makers. All those taking notes. United, we stand. Not Man United. Not Sheffield United, who got their first Premier League win yesterday. Maybe they will not. They will beat Derby's record of lowest points total. Who knows? We'll see. And Derby can keep that one. But united we stand. And like I said, Ephesians 4 is a powerful chapter. It's outlining the principles of unity, growth, and transformation in the Christian life. I want to start by telling you about a lady called Diane Nyad, and her picture will come up on the screen. Diane Nyad, and she broke the record for open water swimming. The record at that point was 60 miles for both men and women. And so she hatched this plan that she wanted to swim 100 miles. She wanted to swim 100 miles. And so after months of training, she was ready. And with her, though, she had an incredible team. A team of guides for measuring the winds and the current and watching for obstacles. Divers looking for sharks. I'm not sure I'm going swimming in those waters if I have to have divers looking for sharks. Okay? Like, she had divers looking for sharks. She had NASA experts for guidance on nutrition and endurance. She needed 1,100 calories per hour. We're going to eat that in nibbles afterwards. And she needed that. And she also, she still lost 29 pounds on that trip. She's incredible. She had trainers who were talking her through moments of uncontrollable shivers, nausea, hallucinations, and despair. She broke the record. Her new record was 102.5 miles. Which is incredible. And it's her name that's in the record books. It's her name that we're talking about. It's even her name now. There's a, I think it's a film on Netflix that has been produced called Nyad that we could watch today. It's her name, but it took 51 other people to do it. It took 51 other people to do it. Here's what I want to say. Where there is unity, anything is possible. Where there is unity, anything is possible. Later on in these verses, actually in Ephesians 4, it talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit. And it talks about this idea of being together with one another. If we can look at Ephesians 4, verses 29 to 32, I think it'll come up on the screen. If not, I can read it from my Bible. Ephesians 4, 29 to 32, it says this: do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Let's take a deep breath. According to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Listen to what it talks about in this idea of not grieving the Holy Spirit. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, but be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It's powerful, because if we get this one another, we get this being together with one another, the whole idea of grieving the Holy Spirit comes about us being divided. We could put it like this today: united we stand, divided we fall. There's an incredible story in Genesis 11 about the Tower of Babel, and the people are building a tower to get to heaven. And it tells us that God comes down to see what the people are doing, which firstly tells me that heaven is a lot higher than they were building the tower, because he still had to come down. So God's much bigger than we recognize. But they're doing this, and in that dialogue, God says, hey, if these people are united, these people are together, nothing is impossible for them. And so in that moment, he scatters them with different languages so they're not able to communicate. Because if people are united, anything is possible. And my question to us today, where Paul is talking about unity, he's talking about doing life together. He's talking about us doing life together with one another. And what if it becomes less about what we do and more about who we're doing it with? What about if it becomes less about what we're doing and more about who we are doing it with? Because here's what I've come to recognize. There will be opportunities for us to be wounded. There will be opportunities for us to be hurt. There will be opportunities for us to be divided in many different areas. And when we're divided, then there's nothing for the Spirit of God to fill. We can even let the little stuff in our lives, the little moments, the little comments, the little things that they become left unattended, they cause division. It causes division and we get offended. And I was reminded as I was writing this message, it was many years ago, but our lead pastor Paul talked about offense and he says, offense builds offense. That it builds a fence around our lives, that all of a sudden we build this fence around our lives, and one that keeps us contained and small because we don't open our lives to anybody else. But also what it does, we've read it, it grieves the Holy Spirit, that it's not a place where God can fill us with His Spirit. And it's what the enemy would love to do. He'd love to divide us. He'd love to destroy us. And you know, it tells us that in John that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways that he does that, and probably one of the main ways he does that, is through division. And in our division, we become separated, and it causes destruction, and it can divide the body. We live in a world that's self-absorbed and self-obsessed, and everything becomes about self, and everything is about self. But here in these verses, Paul uses this phrase, one another, consider one another, forgive one another, be kind and compassionate to one another. Why? Because that offense, it builds offense. And so how do we recognize division? Well, I think there are some sounds. We have to make every effort, because Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity. There's an effort to this. It doesn't just happen. There's an effort to this. Make every effort to fight. We've got to make every effort to fight against those things that cause division. Some of those things could be, we become judgmental about one another. I knew it was going to be quiet today. We criticize. We're cynical. We always focus on what's wrong rather than what's right. We become judgmental about one another. We become defensive with one another. We withdraw, we become defensive, and all of a sudden it's like, they're wrong, I'm never wrong. We're not open to those moments even of correction. We're not open to moments of self-reflection, of going, where's my heart at? We can even begin to manipulate one another. How does that happen? Well, even in our offense, we try and get other people to be offended just like us. And we try to manipulate, oh, I've been offended, so I need to get some people who then will feel like we've all been offended and want to feel like that. And we become vengeful against one another. That they, you know, like, oh, well, they should pay for that. They should begin to do that. And we have to fight against that kind of division. We have to fight against that. Why? Because unity is so important. Because united we stand, divided we fall. My grandma has a mobile phone, which is a miracle in itself. And for anyone who knows my grandma knows that that is a miracle in itself. And so I will get regular phone calls, but I am definitely not technical support for her because I do not have the patience for that. That's Sam's job. And Sam is technical support. And many times she's probably watching right now and love you, Mama. I'm really sorry about what I'm going to say now. And there have been many times that Sam has had to go and show her how to work it and begin to do that. And I want to give her big kudos because she could have just not done that, but she's done it. She tunes into church every single week. The other week she tuned in and it was the week before's message and she thought, I'm sure I've heard this before. And all of that. But she's got this phone and obviously we know with phones, they upgrade now. They upgrade. And for many of us, we can feel in moments where we have this phone and it wants to upgrade. It's like, well, why do I need to upgrade? Because it does everything that I want it to do. But how many of us know that there is more for us in the upgrade? There's more for us in the upgrade. And there are many things that we don't even know have been in the upgrade. It's like iOS went from iOS 14 to 15 and there was more in the upgrade. I want to say there's growth and upgrade for us personally, but also for us as a church. But that means we've got to be united. That means I need other people. That means, like, just my mama needs Sam and his technical support. I need some other people around me who are going to breathe life into me, breathe life into my future. Because change isn't an event, it's a process. And so united we stand, divided we fall. And so unity starts with you. And if you didn't know how to spell it, I've done it like that. Because unity actually starts with you. And for many people, they say, I would be united, but... I would be together with them, but... And our eyes begin to look on everybody else rather than on ourselves. No, unity starts in you. Unity starts in you. Because there are all sorts of temptations to quit, all sorts of temptations to be offended, all sorts of temptations to back down. But if we're going to do something great, it requires us to do something that most people are unwilling to do. And that's why I think Paul says, make every effort. Make every effort, because it's hard work, because it's going to take work to do this. It's going to take work for us to be united. It's going to take work even in ourselves to be united together. I'm preaching to us, if this is your first time at Icon Church, then I'm preaching to the church today. I'm preaching to Icon Church today, and I'm saying, hey, this is like God is going to bless our unity, but it starts with us, and many times we have to take a look at ourselves, okay? I'm going to share a quote now, and because I didn't want to say it, I've got this guy to say it for me. Rick Warren, in his Purpose-Driven Life, says this: it is your job to protect the unity of your church. Unity in the church is so important that the New Testament, hear this, gives more attention to it than to either heaven or hell. God deeply desires that we experience oneness and harmony with each other. You know, when it's amazing that I'm speaking this on International Sunday. Because when we planned the diary, we didn't know what we were going to be speaking on, but here we are, united we stand. That this place would be a house of prayer for all nations. That we know that we are one in Christ, that we are able to bring our gifts and our talents, but we united we stand. And if we're united together today, God blesses it. And it's a place where God can fill his spirit. That God deeply desires that we experience oneness and harmony with each other. Unity is the soul of fellowship. Destroy it, and you rip the heart out of Christ's body. It is the essence, the core of how God intends for us to experience life together in his church. Our supreme model for unity is the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit are completely unified as one. God himself is the highest example of sacrificial love, humble other-centeredness, and perfect harmony. Unity starts with you. It's our job to protect the unity in our church. It's our job to protect the unity within us, with each other. It's our job. So how do we do that? How do we do that in the little time I've got left, because I'm getting daggers from Joel Phantom right now in his Chesterfield shirt. How do we make every effort? And there are lots of you doing the same, because I know you're thinking nibbles. That's why you're really quiet today. How do we make every effort to keep the unity? Firstly, build trust. Where trust grows, unity grows. Where trust grows, unity grows. But to get trust, you have to give trust. To get trust, you have to give trust. We went to watch a band last night in Manchester, and with Dave Buckley and Jonathan and Jake. I was thinking about this last night because I got a McDonald's on the way home, guys, by the way. And I sat there with my McDonald's. Well, I sat in the drive-through just going through my message, and then they made me park in the bay, so I was going through my message. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, if you stood us four together, you would think those four would never go to a gig together. Like, it just wouldn't happen, and yet we're there. It's the beauty of the body, church, that we get to do this together. But we had to trust Dave, because Dave was driving, and he decided to go Snake Pass. Well, he didn't decide, Google Maps decided to go Snake Pass, and got Jonathan in the back telling him every single turn. It was like rally driving. Left, 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 accelerate through, right, 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 right. 90 degree bend. There will be a puddle on your left, Jonathan. There will be a puddle on your left. And we had that. But I was just like, I'm not the best passenger. I like to drive. I get motion sickness. I like to drive. I'm not the best passenger. But I was like, hey, I've got to trust Dave here. He's driving Lucy's car. And I've got to trust Dave here and all of that. But to get trust, you have to give trust. To get trust from people, you have to give trust. And where there's no trust, basically it's just distrust. We don't trust it. And where there's distrust, there's disunity. And it takes time. I think this is the important thing I want to get to us today, is that unity and trust and these things, it takes time. It doesn't happen. It's not instant. And it's that willingness to be vulnerable. It's that willingness to open up and be vulnerable. And I'm saying use wisdom with that vulnerability, but it takes time. And maybe it starts with a little. Maybe it starts a little at a time. But we've got to begin to trust each other with that vulnerability. And if it feels like we're divided, check the level of your trust. Check the level of trust with those around you. Because healing comes from a place of trusting each other, even with the mess. Yeah. I know you're saying, Nathan, where's your scripture for that? James 5, verse 16 says this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It means I'm going to bring my mess, I'm going to bring my problems, and within that, as we pray together, I can receive healing in that moment. But that comes from a place of trust. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is the time just as about he's about to be arrested before he goes to the cross. He's in a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. He doesn't invite all his 12 disciples at that moment. He has his three. He has his three guys and he says, will you come with me? I think this was a moment. Jesus is in a mess in this moment. Like, he's feeling the weight and the pressure. He's sweating blood. He's probably at what the disciples, those three, are probably seeing Jesus in his worst state they've ever seen him in. And he was willing to take them along. I find that incredible. Because why? Because he's up modeling for us. We need one another. We need one another even in the mess. We need one another even in the moments where we're feeling the pressure. It's not a moment to withdraw ourselves. It's a moment to actually step into relationship. It's a moment to build unity. It's a moment to build that trust with one another. And there's this moment, and you know, it's quite funny because the guys keep falling asleep and Jesus is like, come on, I need you. I need you in this moment. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. I need you in this moment because I'm feeling the pressure. I'm not a big crier. And I think the last time I cried was about 6 years ago. It's a joke, by the way. Chill out. Everyone's looking at me dead serious today. And I cry a little bit more now. I nearly cried even in that moment where we were praying. Like, I had a moment, but take a breath and all of that. But I'm not just going to walk down the street crying. I want to, you know, I'm going to get before the right people. you know, in the right moment. And I know for some of you that might just be a natural response in terms of crying, but opening ourselves up and willing to be vulnerable, because for many of us, we hide our mess. But Jesus showed his mess of sorrow and pain in that moment. And that openness of our mess brings healing, it brings unity, and it's the moment where we go, I want to build trust. And I know we can't be transparent and vulnerable with everyone and use wisdom with your vulnerability today. But let me tell you, trust gets built. You know, our marriage is built on mess. All on my part, by the way. No, it is. It's built on mess. It's built on mess, offences that have been laid down. I wanted to bring in some fences today, right? And I didn't have the... I decided to pray about it because there's some around our estate and I was like, can I take them? I'm really wishing I had now because I think this would be a really powerful example, but the Lord told me no. But imagine I've got a fence and a fence builds a fence and it's here and it's blocking everything. Imagine I build that with my marriage with Debbie and I don't allow it to get in. But no, I lay that fence down and that becomes a bridge to more trust. That I get to walk on that. The mess, the sorrow, the pain, and a relationship is built on that. And what does that do? It builds unity. It builds that we're in this together. I want to encourage you, you're married in this place, you're in a relationship in this place. Hey, lay down the offenses, put the mess on the ground. Why? Because it'll build a bridge between you and the other person where you can walk forward. And let me tell you, our marriage is a lot stronger when we lay down our mess and our offenses and all of that. Why? Because it builds unity and it builds trust together and it builds more vulnerability and we're able to be open with one another. Let me talk to the guys that are like me who like to process everything internal and then, don't nudge your husband, Lucy Buckley, process everything internal and then they come with all the solutions. I'm preaching to myself now. There's one finger at you and four fingers at you. I see that hand. We'll pray for you afterwards. Okay. Lay down the offenses. Do it with your spouse. Do it with your partner. Lay it down. Why? Because it builds trust. And that vulnerability builds unity together. Come on. Does someone believe that today? Come on. It gets built on that. And so today, who are the people that you can be transparent with? Who are the people that God has brought into your life that you can bring the mess before so that God can bring healing and growth to your life? And let's make every effort to keep that unity. Because, hey, when we get close to people, there's always opportunity to be offended. But united we stand, divided we fall. The second thing is this, and the team are going to come back, so don't get distracted by them. I know they're really good looking. Commit to one another. That was funny last night. Sorry, I saw Jake walking on with his hat. That was funny last night. We were walking into the concert last night and they said, can you take your hat off? Took his hat off and she went, I was not expecting that. I was like, that's brilliant. I just thought about that as you're walking on stage, mate. Oh, anyway, let's commit to one another. Build one another up in love. I love it, Jake. You know that phrase, one another? That phrase, one another, is used over 100 times in the New Testament alone. I think God was trying to get a message to us. All right, two of us agree. Over 100 times in the New Testament, I think God's trying to get a message to us because Jesus would even say there's opportunity to be offended. There's opportunity to build like a fence between you. There's opportunity to look down on one another. There's opportunity to as Bible language, bite and devour one another. There's opportunity to gossip, slander, be malicious towards one another. But over 100 times in the New Testament, the message is, hey, commit to one another. There's a life together for one another. Paul, who's writing this book that we're looking at in Ephesians, would use it 60 times. I've got a list. Note takers, get going quick. Or just go on YouVersion. I've put them all on there. But here, love one another 16 times. At least 16 times. Sorry, I didn't do really. After 16, I was like, all right, I'll put that. Devoted to one another, honor one another, live in harmony with one another, build up one another, be like-minded towards one another, accept one another, admonish one another, greet one another, care for one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens. Don't worry, I'm not going through them all. But here in Ephesians 4, the chapter that we're looking at, there's four here. Forgive one another. Be patient with one another. Speak the truth in love to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Here's what I want to say about being with one another. Being in the crowd, and I love it. I love us gathering on a Sunday, but you could call this a crowd. And I love it because we get to hear God's word, and personally we can apply it to our lives, and it's part of our discipleship, it's part of our worship. You know, when we turn up at church, there's three main reasons why we're turning up at church. First and foremost, we're here to worship God. We're here to worship God. First and foremost, if nothing else, we're here to worship God. We're here to praise Him. We're here to thank Him. We're here to give Him all the honor and all the glory. We're here to worship God. Secondly, we're here to be equipped. We're here to be equipped to go and do what God is calling us to do. That's why we're here, His word. And then thirdly, we're here to reach the world. We're here to be a message to the world to come in. But it's great being part of the crowd. But here's what I want to say. Being in the crowd might not change your life, but doing life together will change it. Being in the crowd might not change your life. Might be great for you to come in and it's amazing, but I think doing life together will change it. And we have to have this commitment to one another. I know you've all been staring at my slow cooker. It's actually my mum's. Because Debbie broke ours. There's nothing in it, don't worry. But I think doing life together with one another is not microwave relationship. You know, when you put something in the microwave and it's like 2 minutes and you put it on for 2 minutes and then you get it out and it's piping hot on the outside, but actually on the inside it's still cold because a microwave cooks from the outside to the in. And it blasts it. Sometimes we want our relationships to be like microwave, like instant, done, over. No. I think this commitment to one another, this life together, this building relationship with one another is slow cooker relationships. Where it might not look like much is going off on the outside, but something's stirring on the inside. Trust is being built. There's a vulnerability that's happening, and all of a sudden you begin to get a sense of the smell and the taste. You put it on before you go to church, you get back from church and you're like, oh, it don't look quite done, it don't look like anything's happening. But eventually that smell and that aroma begins to fill the house. I wonder if unity and committing to life together is like slow cooker relationships, that at times it doesn't look like much is happening, at times it doesn't look like anything's going off, but you know what, I'm going to commit to one another, because who knows the aroma and the smell that could fill the house of God, could fill my life, could be a part of it. There you go, Judith. Commit to one another. It's not like a one-time thing. It's, oh no, I'm going to commit to doing life together. Charles Spurgeon put it like this: Christians, you are to love one another. Not because of the gain which you get from one another, but rather because of the good you can do to one another. So I'm calling us as church today, Icon Church. Would we make every effort to keep the unity? Would we begin to build that trust? Would we begin to commit to one another? May we fight for that unity, protect the unity, so that the Spirit of God can fill what we are doing. And just as Jesus, and here's something practical you can do off the back of this message, just as Jesus took the three, who could be your three? Who could be your three? Who could be your three that you're honest with? Who could be your three that you encourage one another to be built up in what God is doing? Who could be your three that you pray for one another? I know I've been really struck recently of even my own spiritual journey and my own discipleship, that I need to commit to other people and to get around other people and begin to commit to one another again in this idea of unity and vulnerability and building trust and doing life together with one another. Because the crowd might not change me, but as I do life together with one another, I'll definitely be changed. Come on, why don't we stand all across this place? Maybe even today it's a moment, a conversation of saying, hey, would you commit together to doing this life? Commit together to being honest, encouraging, praying for one another. It might look like a WhatsApp group. It might look like meeting up regularly. It might look like however you want it to do, but begin to do it. Because Jesus prayed a prayer in John 17. John 17, verses 20 to 23. And he says this, my prayer is not for them alone. And he's talking about the people who are there, but I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. That's us today. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete. I got you to stand to wake you up. So that they may be brought to complete. And look what happens if we're brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Our unity is a message to a world that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is for them, and that actually there's a life that Jesus has for them. So come on, let's echo that prayer right now as Icon Church, that we may be brought to unity. Right now, if you feel comfortable, why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you begin to pray? Why don't you begin to say, God, unify us today. God, begin to move, God. Lord Jesus, we lift your name high, Lord God. We thank you today, God, Lord, that you have more for us, God. Lord, we thank you that you have more for us. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that we would be unified in the name of Jesus. That today we echo your prayer, that we would be one in the name of Jesus. We thank you today. We thank you today. Come on, team. Come on. Let's lift the faith. Come on. Come on. Let's begin to build this. Come on. Come on. Let's lift our hands. Lord Jesus, make us one in this place. Lord, we thank you today. We commit to one another. We pray, help us to build that trust, that vulnerability. God, we lift your name high, just as you are one, that we would be one in the name of Jesus. So we ask you, fill this place as we are unified today. As your church, fill this place with your spirit. Come on, let's sing together.